today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about honoring God and what honors God. What honors God? Well, I believe faith. Faith honors God. And when we believe what He says and operate in this world according to faith principles, well, let me say it like this. It's kind of like a fish out of water. How many have ever been fishing or been with someone that was fishing? They caught a fish, drug it out of the water, landed on the ground, and it's flopping around. There was this one time, this just like, bing, hit me. I don't know how old I was, probably 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that time frame. And I went fishing with my brother. And I believe it was probably the first time that I ever seen someone up close catch a fish. And he caught, I don't know, it was probably a little brim. I think y'all call him spot here. But he caught that thing and reeled it in. And it was on his line and he just threw it up on the bank. And that thing was flopping all around. And then did that for a little while. And then all of a sudden, you see its mouth. Like it's gasping for air, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so traumatized. This fish is flopping around, it's gasping for air. What are you doing? You're killing this poor fish. Again, I don't know how old I was, but that's the memory I had that just flashed back to me. It's like a fish out of water flopping around, but the same fish, you take that very same fish, that little brim. I mean, he was that big. He didn't do nothing to nobody. You take that same little brim, but they do taste good. I love fish. You take that same fish in its natural environment, the water. Has anybody ever had the privilege to be underwater among fish as they're swimming? I'm not talking about watching it on the TV. I mean, we've all seen programs where you got divers down there and you... But has anybody ever had the privilege of being underwater among fish as they're moving around you? I'm telling you, it is the most graceful act, I believe. I mean, it's just something about it. When we were down at the Grand Caymans, we did a lot of snorkeling, and there's a lot of beautiful reefs and stuff to snorkel. And I got to meet Dory firsthand. we're like on speaking terms now, and I tried my whale call to get her over there. It didn't work, but to see those fish, to see them, the way they just move, just effortlessly in this environment, their water, it's completely different than when you get them out of their environment, right? When they're on land, flopping around. They're very graceful in their natural environment. But you take that flopping fish outside of its environment, and it's not the same. It's not the same. But you put it in a bowl, and you fill that bowl or tank with water, and something happens. It starts to swim again and act like it did in its natural environment, right? But now you got it in this bowl. Somebody's got to feed the thing. We all know the horror stories. We get a fish for our kids. They don't feed it. They forget to feed it. They overfeed it. And what happens? The old Goldie turns upside down. But what does this have to do with anything? I'm going to get to a point. So now it's relying on other people to feed it, right? Reg is like, hurry up. Get to the point. Follow my trail. We're going to parlay this into kingdom business here now. All right? Okay. Well, in heaven, there is no need for faith. In heaven, I'm talking about when we're in heaven, there will be no need for faith. Why? It's just the nature of heaven. It's what heaven is. The sun will be our light. God is our source. We'll have need of nothing. We'll have all things. Today I want to look at a little differently at faith. You know, how many like diamonds? Man, I thought all the... Yeah. Ladies' hands be going up. How many has ever really looked at a diamond closely? Us men have looked at diamonds real close. We're going to spend that much money. That thing better be perfect. Well, if you look at a diamond, it's got all these cuts, right? Different angles, different... It's multifaceted. Well, we're going to look at faith a little different way today, but it's still faith. That diamond, if you look at it this way, and it shimmers a certain way, and you just move over here, and it shimmers a little different way, well, it doesn't change the diamond. The diamond's still the same diamond. It's the facets that are cut into it and our perspective of where we are that makes it different, right? So today I want to look at faith maybe a little bit different way than you have. But I want you to know that faith is still faith. We're just looking at it. It says that God is, he's multifaceted. Multifaceted, okay? We know from Hebrews 11:1, the very definition of faith. What? The substance of things. The evidence of things not seen. We know that definition, right? Well, here's my contention today. Faith is heaven on earth. Faith is heaven on earth. And I'm going to dive into this a little bit. So, Hebrews 1, y'all just quoted it. Let me just turn over there real quick. Hebrews 1. Y'all are like, oh, he's stretching this. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Hebrews 11:1. Where am I? I'm in Hebrews 1. That ain't going to work. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, do we hope for an eternity in heaven? Is heaven real? According to that little boy that they made the movie about, it is. Heaven is real. It's what we hope for. We hope for heaven. Can we see heaven? Right now. Maybe through our spiritual eyes. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence. The evidence of things not seen. Heaven is the substance of things hoped for. It is real, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Again, we want to look at this from a little different angle. Faith, my contention, is faith. How are we going to pull this into today? Because we're not in heaven yet. Faith is what brings heaven down to earth. Our faith is what brings heaven down to earth. Okay? Stay with me. Turn to Hebrews 10, just back one. No, you might not even have to turn back. 10:30. How can I say that? Well, it says in 10:30, Hebrews 10:30, for we know, and this is out of the Amplified, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, retribution, and the meeting out of full justice rests with me. I will repay, I will exact the compensation, says the Lord. And again, that's not the verse that I wanted. There is a verse in the Bible. You have to trust me. That says our faith preserves our soul. I wrote that down wrong. Don't reference 10:30. Faith preserves our soul. What is our soul? We've been taught. We are a three-part being, right? We live in this body. We are a spirit. Right? And we have a soul. Our faith, according to the Word of God, preserves our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's the soulish realm. Our faith preserves our mind, our will, and our emotions. How do we bring heaven down to earth? I believe this is a key in understanding what faith is. Like that fish needs to be fed while in the bowl, we need to be fed here. We need to feed our faith while we're in this earth. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it, right? We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of another kingdom. But while we're here in this world, we need faith. So in heaven, we're like that fish in its natural environment. Just gracefully moving around effortlessly. Has no need, no worries. Just swimming around. Heaven is our natural environment. Heaven is our natural environment. This earth that is suffering under the weight of sin, it's groaning, the Bible says, is not our natural environment. How many know we're only here temporary? Amen. This is our temporary abode. This is our temporary residence. This is not our natural environment. Here on earth, it's like that fish flopping around out of water, gasping for air, desperately trying to gain life and get back into its natural environment. But when we receive Jesus into our life, it's like that bowl of water, right? That fish out of its natural environment, flopping around, fighting for life. That's how unbelievers are in this world. They don't know it. They don't recognize it. They don't understand it. But that's what they're doing. They are flopping around, fighting for their very existence. But you give them Jesus. You put them in that bowl of water. And they start swimming around again. But they need to be fed. We need to be fed. Just like that fish in that bowl of water needs to be fed. It's not in the ocean. It's not in its natural environment. It needs to be fed. Our faith needs to be fed. So when we receive Jesus, it's like that bowl of water, and we're sustained. We are sustained by our faith in Christ. That fish is sustained in that bowl of water by someone else feeding it. We're sustained by our faith in Christ, being fed by the Word of God. By God Himself, because He breathed it, He inspired it. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're looking at faith. And I say it all the time, if you take one thing away from today, one thing away, I want you to have a different understanding, a better understanding of what faith is. What faith is. Amen? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world." Even our what? Faith. Faith. Heaven on earth. It's what overcomes the world. Right? We sing about it, don't we? Bringing heaven down to earth. What's that song? Hillsong does. Like heaven on earth. Maybe it's a different... I got to look over to my... Okay. Our faith is what brings heaven down to earth, because now we are citizens of heaven when we receive Christ. When we understand who we are in Christ, when we operate by these faith principles, it brings the principles of heaven down here to earth. As a kid, I used to dream all the time. And I don't mean like at night dreams. I meant like daydreams. Like, you know, you're sitting in class and you're like, you look out the window and the trees are blowing and you imagine yourself in the top of that tree and creating. So I used to dream. I used to have all these things that I would take them to my mother. to honor her on Mother's Day. And I say, man, I can do this. I want to build this. I want to be this. And she say, oh, Todd, you just need to come down to earth. You just need to come back down to earth. Mothers, don't squelch your kids' dreams. I just remember that. I remember that. And I was thinking about this message. I said, yeah, I need to come back down to earth and I need to bring heaven with me. I need to bring heaven down to earth with me. It is our faith that brings honor to God and heaven to earth. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to be pleasing to God? Well, you better have faith. You want faith? You better understand what faith is. And I don't think we just need to understand it. I think we need to operate in it. We need to do. We need to be put to action. We got to put our faith to action in this earth. Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. We just read about it. Let's go a little bit deeper into Romans 4 there. And look at Abraham's life and what faith meant to him. Again, I could read this whole chapter, but I don't want to for time purposes. Let me just start in 13. I'm going to start in 13. Hopefully y'all understand what's going on before these verses in this chapter. But in 13 out of the Amplified says, "For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, then faith is made futile and empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void. It is annulled and has no power. For the law results in divine wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression of it either. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith." Someone say, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. You want to inherit the promises of God? Have faith operating in your life. Outcome of faith. And depends entirely on faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you father of many nations." He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubting, question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith. Your faith can strengthen you and empower you. Empower you in this world to accomplish mighty things for the kingdom of God. To bring the economy of heaven down to earth. Amen? He did not weaken in faith. No. That is why. No. Fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God, in other words. But the words that was credited to him were written not for his sake alone, But they were written for our sakes too. Our sakes too. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. So Abraham had faith in what God had said, and God just said what he saw. He saw Abraham, the father of many nations, countless as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the sky. He foretold the end from the beginning. It's our faith that brings honor to God, I believe, and heaven to earth. Our faith, just like Abraham, had faith in what God said, and God said what he saw. Our faith in Jesus brings honor to God. Our faith in Jesus brings honor to God because we honor his Son. We honor his Son. I mean, as a parent, it's Mother's Day, right? As a parent, I don't think there's any greater, as a parent myself, I don't think there's any greater honor that could be bestowed upon us than when someone honors or compliments my kids. I don't know if you can identify with that. Just the other day, and I'll give you an example. He's not in here, so I can talk about him. My son Levi, okay, it might be a little bit of bragging about him. I'm just going to be honest. I wanted to say I'm here with a humble heart, just giving you an example, but that would be a lie. So I am just a little proud of him, okay? So we're going up to watch his soccer game the other day, and they're warming up right outside the fence line, and we got to walk past where they're warming up to get to the stands, and his coach calls us over there. Hey, Mr. Hallian, come on over here. And now my wife, thinking that it was something bad, decided to go on into the stands because she didn't want to hear about what was going on. So I go over there, right? I go over there, and he said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that, man, your kid is so awesome. There was a situation at school, and there was some really, really bad stuff being said, this situation that was evolving, and Levi, man, he just stepped up and said something, and he didn't tell me the details, but he said he just addressed it, and he said something, and you should be proud of him because he handled himself well. He handled himself well in that situation." And man, I'm telling you, I mean, my eyes started to water. My heart was beating fast. You really, as a parent, you appreciate those moments. And my point is this, that brings honor to me and Nikki as his parents. Because he said, "I think y'all are doing a great job, you know, the way you're raising him. And especially with everything going on." And that I believe, is how God feels when we honor his Son Jesus. Amen. Not from a sense of pride, but we are showing honor to the Christ, to Jesus, his Son. And I believe that honors God. We are in turn giving honor to God when we honor the Christ. In fact, John, you don't have to turn there, 14:15 says, "This is Jesus. If you really love me, you will obey my commands," right? So as we keep and obey his commands, it shows our love for him, our honor for him. And then just down to verse 21 says, "The person who has my commands and keep them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, will reveal, will manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to Him. Make myself real to Him. I'm telling you, if you want to really dive down into faith and what faith is and what Scripture says about faith, you got to get into the book of Hebrews. You're already in the book of Romans, I pray. And those are the two, I mean, they really talk about this thing called faith. And I truly believe it is faith that brings heaven down to earth. When we operate in faith, right? When we operate in faith for our body, if we've got something going on in our body and we are believing what God said, that you are the healed, right? Because of what Jesus did, He said that. He saw it. He sees it in you before you realize the manifestation of it. But by faith, that manifests, that healing manifests, that brings honor to God. Because you're honoring His Word and what it says about you. And that's your faith. That's your faith in operation. Calling those things that be not as though they are. Calling those things that be not as though they are. And if you want to understand about the kingdom of heaven, you really need to dive into the book of Matthew. In fact, Matthew, outside of two other references in the New Testament, is the only place that it actually talks about that phrase, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, in another place he says, the kingdom of heaven has come. How? We don't see it with our physical eyes. We appropriate it by faith, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Does that make sense? Amen. So last week and the week before, you know, we had talked about receiving training by the Word of God. We went over, and you don't have to go there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for what? For instruction, for reproof, conviction of sin, correction of error, discipline in obedience, and training in righteousness. How did Abraham receive his righteousness? By faith. And we are the same. Righteousness, holy living, conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action. Why? So that the man of God, so that you and me may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work where? Here on earth. Every good work here on earth. So we need to get trained in righteousness. Key to getting trained is to be trainable. How many managers we have in here that have dealt with an untrainable employee? Huh? They know it all. You can't tell them anything about anything. We need to be trainable. My acronym that I love to share that shocks people, that you need to be fat. You need to be fat. You need to be faithful, available, and teachable or trainable. Faithful, available, and teachable. That old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Anybody heard that one? What does that allude to? Being set in our ways, right? So set in our ways that nothing that is said or done, even an angel appearing before us, couldn't change our ways. No, we need to be flexible in this way, in that we're trainable. We're trainable. We have to soften the ground of our heart to be trainable in righteousness. And we talked about that. What softens the ground of our heart? You know? I believe, like that thing we put out there, you cannot receive a harvest unless you first prepare the ground of our heart. And that's what the parable of the sower is, preparing the ground of your heart to bring to fruition the Word of God in your life. Some 30, some 60, some 100. How do we prepare our ground? Through prayer, fellowship with the Father, through the Word of God, reading our Word. So today we honor our mothers, and every day we honor God. We honor God by believing in His Son Jesus, that Jesus was sent to this earth. He died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. And on the third day, He was resurrected. And when we believe in Jesus, we are resurrected to a new life in Christ, in Jesus. And we're not the same person. It says old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. No matter what you've done. In fact, it says that He covers it, your past, present, and future sins. Once and for all, He has shed His blood, died for you and me, so that you can become a new creature in Christ. A new creation. That's what there's now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. And how do we honor God every day? By operating in faith principles that bring heaven to earth. Faith principles. Dig into the Word and find out what it says about faith. Don't rely on me up here telling you everything. I can't tell you everything in an hour on a Sunday. I can't. It's impossible. I've told you that before. It's impossible for me to share everything that you need to know from this Word. You have to dig in deeper, go deeper for yourself if you are serious about your relationship with God. Amen? I'm telling you, there is things that we need to accomplish as a body. There are things that you need to accomplish in your life individually by faith. There are things that we need to accomplish as a body here at Christian Growth Center by faith. We are called to this community. Listen, I don't think it's by accident that if you were born and raised here, that you're still here. If you're a transplant from somewhere else like me, that you're still here. I don't believe that is by accident. I believe that you have a divine appointment to be in this community for such a time as this. And if you don't understand that, you've got to get a grasp and a hold on that. Because otherwise, we're just out there, you know, drinking and partying and getting married and having fun and with no reason for it. I know that I just really destroyed that scripture pretty bad. But y'all got the point. How's it go? Let's just drink and be merry and not get married. I said that part. Come on, help me out, Gene. Oh, you're letting me get roasted up here.
He said there's no help for you.
So, I love how Reggie just mumbles stuff out of under his breath. It's just out of earshot of me. I know. Yes, I'm flopping around like a fish out of water. That's right. Somebody pick me up and put me in the bowl. Huh? Yeah, okay. See? Get that man a mic. Let him preach. So we need to understand that. We need to understand how to operate in faith principles in this earth so that we can bring heaven down to earth. To help this world that we are a temporary resident in. And we need to see it like that. You really need to understand. You really need to understand and see yourself as a temporary resident of earth. Because if not, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to work day in, day out, making money, paying bills, and this is all I got. This is it. This is all for me. This is it. No. I get my weekends. I get to go fish and pull them fish out of the water. Let them flop around on No, there's so much more. So much more for you. You have a purpose. a God-given purpose. There's nothing wrong with making money and having fun and doing things outside, you know, going places and seeing things. Nothing wrong with that. That's all good. But what does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll grant, he'll give you those things. You know, like free gifts, just hand them out. If you seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, glory. I hope y'all received that today, that encouragement. Again, every time I come up here, I hope and I pray, it is my prayer, that I encourage you in some area that will help you in this world, in this earth, while we're here. Whether it has to do with faith or, whatever it may be, to operate in this world, to live in victory in this world, to have the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. To live in that abundant life. Does it mean bad things aren't going to happen? No, but it means you have the ability and the tools to get through those things and come out on the other side victorious. Amen?